A good day to all of you and warm welcome back to our subject on managing IT projects. We are into the last and concluding chapter of this subject, which is focusing on project communication management. A quick look at our learning objectives. We are going to look at, in this chapter, we are going to learn how communication management is a critical component of effective project management. So you're going to understand the importance of good communications on projects and the need to develop what are called soft skills, especially for IT project managers and IT software engineers. We will look at and review the key concepts related to communications. We will explain the elements of project communication and how to create a communication plan for the project. We will describe how to manage the communications, including use of communication technologies, media, and performance reporting. We will discuss methods of controlling communication to ensure that the information needs of all the stakeholders are met throughout the life of the project. We will list various methods for improving project communication, such as running effective meetings, using various technologies like WhatsApp, and other online techniques, and using templates. And lastly, we will also try and check how software can be used to enhance project communications management. Now, project communication management is a critical component of project management, and is very important for project managers whose job is coordinating large projects with multiple team members. In fact, communication could probably be the most important job that the project manager does in coordinating the entire project effort. Okay? This can be seen in terms of 5 steps that are used to achieve the project objectives and find solutions through the life cycle of the project. The second component of communication management is listening intently, so that the project manager can hear the right messages from other people, and whether these messages have to be oral, written, he needs to interpret them correctly, and then he needs to exercise his judgment on what he is understanding and take the correct inferences out of it. Now, open discussions allow questions to be asked in a frank, open, risk-free environment while focusing on the project objectives. Communication is not used to run down other people, but it is used effectively to develop people and develop or understand problems in the project management and resolve them. Therefore, developing sensitivity to people and communication requires susceptibility to others' attitudes, others' biases, others' habits, and honest dealing. And, being able to accept all that as a part of our project. Okay? Once messages have been received and understood, prompt action has to be taken to respond to the needs that were being communicated in the message. So it's very important to have a response mechanism and a response time for everything that we do in the organization. Now, managing communication for projects actually entails the following. It is the processes required to ensure timely and appropriate generation, collection, distribution, storage, retrieval, and ultimate disposition of project information is what is defined as communication management for projects. Now, the communication management process involves the following. It involves planning the communication management, which means determining the information needs of the project and the communication needs of the stakeholders, and accordingly designing the MIS that the project will generate to satisfy the information needs of all the stakeholders. The second part is managing the communications across the entire project team, which means creating, distributing, storing, retrieving, and disposing of project communications based on the overall communication management plan. The third part is controlling the communications, monitoring and controlling the project communication to ensure that the stakeholders' communication needs are met, the right people get the right information at the right time. So if you look at a project communications management summary, this is how it looks like. In the planning process, we prepare what is called the complete communication plan management. What is the output? the communications management plan, the project documents and updates. When we are executing, the process is to manage the communications. What is the output? We have project communication, project documents, updates, project management plan updates, organizational process asset updates. We have reviews, status reports, etc. coming out, which are communicated to the stakeholders. The third part of the plan is monitoring and control. The process is control the communication. What is the output? Work performance information, MIS, change requests, project documents and organizational process asset update that are required as a part of the communication project. And this runs across the life cycle of the project from the start to the finish. Let us look at the typical communication channels that you will see in the project. There are three directions in which the communication happens. You have upward channel, downward channel and lateral channel. Now, in the upward channel, this typically involves communicating to senior executives and the top management of the company. What has to be communicated over here? We highlight key issues, risks and exceptions and budget overruns, budget and cost overruns. What are the tools used? Exception reports, weekly status report, project charter, email updates, face-to-face reviews and communication plan. What is the purpose? The purpose is to get a buy-in from the top on the issues and a direction on how to resolve them. Then the second kind of communication that happens, which is the downward channel, this provides direction to the project teams. What are the key tasks over here? I mean, the things that are highlighted to the project team is the pending tasks, what are the scheduled tasks, dates, deadlines, and general team briefing. What are the teams tools used? Verbal exchanges, agenda, minutes of meeting, emails, project brief, project plan, and issue logs. And what does it require? It requires delegation skills to get things resolved. Then you have what is called lateral channels. In this case, you communicate to clients, vendors, and functional managers across other departments. This involves negotiation for resources, budgets, and time allocations. Again, the tools used are the communication plan, statement of work, contracts, and email. This requires a lot of diplomacy, honesty, tact, and trust to develop the communication across the organization. Now, importance of good communications in project management. The greatest threat to many projects is the failure to communicate in time to all the stakeholders. Our culture does not portray IT professionals as being good communicators. Research shows that IT professionals typically like to interact a lot more with their machines. They are more comfortable talking to technology than to human beings, and therefore they must be taught to communicate effectively if they have to succeed in their positions, and they have to contribute to the successful completion of the project on time. Strong verbal and non-technical skills are a key factor for effective project management for IT professionals. So this is very critical to remember why this has to be done. Also, why do we need to do communication? As I said, project managers probably spend most of their time communicating, and therefore, for a project manager to effectively coordinate the project, it is mandatory that he has good communication skills. Okay? Communication is very complex, which requires choices between sender-receiver models, choice of media, writing style, presentation techniques, and meeting management. It's very important to understand how are you going to communicate with each different kind of groups which you have within the team. Some people you can communicate through electronic media. Some people need more face-to-face meetings. If you look at the other thing, people are not interchangeable parts. As illustrated in the Brooks book, The Mythical Man Month, you cannot assume that a task originally scheduled to take 2 months or one person's time can be done in 1 month by two people working together. It doesn't happen that way exactly. Now, let us understand the importance of face-to-face communications in the overall communication mix. Research says that in a face-to-face interaction, 50% of the communication is through body language, 35% is through how the words are said and intoned, which is the modulation of the words, and 7% of the communication is through the content or words that are actually spoken. So, typically, pay attention to more than just the actual words someone is saying, And a person's tone of voice and body language say a lot about how he or she really feels. Now, in terms of personal preferences, there are different kinds of people who prefer different modes of communication, and how their communication needs change depending on the kind of person that software engineer is. So, for example, introverts like private communications like emails and WhatsApp messages or a telephone call, while extroverts like to discuss things in public. Intuitive people like to understand the big picture, while sensing people need to understand step-by-step details. Thinkers want to know the logic behind decisions, while feeling people want to know how something affects them personally. Judging people who are judgment-oriented are driven to deadlines, while perceiving people need more help in developing and following plans. So this is how different people affect communication needs and communication choices. Now, how do we encourage more face-to-face interactions, because they are the most effective form of communication? So short, frequent meetings are very effective in managing IT projects. One must, as a project manager and the head of the organization or the head of the project, one must encourage people to have a lot more face-to-face meetings. One form of face-to-face meeting is the stand-up meeting, which people can have in small groups, which actually force people to focus on what they are really trying to communicate and what they are really trying to solve. Once they communicate and solve that problem, they move on, and another group of people then comes in and have these stand-up meetings. Okay, multiple stand-up meetings can also be organized or can be organized to focus on multiple elements within multiple cross teams working on the project. Some companies even have policies that prevent use of email between certain hours or sometimes even entire day of the week to reduce the time that people spend on emails and rather make them have face-to-face meetings. Now, coming to the project management book of knowledge, their communication model. Now, in the PMBOK, a communication model has been identified. The person who's communicating has a message which he encodes or translates a thought into a language. He then communicates that message through a medium to the receiver. The receiver may get the message along with noise, which is the interference that he has with the transmission and with the understanding and interpretation of the message, and then he decodes it back or translates it back to the thought and idea. So this is the sender side. What is the sender doing? He's encoding a message, a thought, which he converts into a language, and this message then goes across to the receiver. He receives the message plus this noise. So some noise also comes into the decoder, to the receiver. The receiver will decode this message. If he's an astute receiver, then he will eliminate the noise and he will understand the message as it was originally intended by the sender. The receiver then will have to respond back to the sender. So he will think of what he has to respond. He will encode that thought into a form of a communication and send this message back to the sender. The sender will also receive the message with some noise. He has to eliminate the noise so as to get back to the original message. So there is this communication method that has been identified by the PMBOK book. Now, communication model implies feedback is required, and feedback is an integral part of the communication process. Now, key terms in the communication model: non-verbal communication accounts for 55% of the communication, which is what the customer understands from the body language of the speaker. Then paralingual communication, which is the pitch and tone of the voice. Then active listening: receiver confirms message and asks for clarification. And effective listening is when he receiver pays attention thoughtfully and responds and provides feedback to the communication that has been sent to him. So this is what we mean by the communication model as given in the PMBOK. So how do we manage communications? What do we do to manage communications? There are five processes involved. If you see, we have five broad steps in managing communication. The first thing is to identify the key stakeholders. So if you see this, we have the key stakeholders. Then we plan what communication is to be sent to each of these key stakeholders. which means we identify their information needs, we identify their requirement of knowledge. Then we distribute this information to the stakeholders, we manage stakeholder expectation, and then we report performance. All this is represented diagrammatically over here, and we will use this diagrammatic representation to get into the details of each of the five steps and processes involved in the communication plan. So now let's look at the first step of identifying the stakeholders. Now to identify the stakeholder, we need to do what is called a stakeholder analysis. Who are the key stakeholders, in the project? And so what are the inputs? Where do we understand the stakeholders? We will use the following documents, which is one is the project charter that has been prepared. The second one is the procurement documents. Then we will use the enterprise environmental factors. We'll understand the organization, and we will also understand the organizational process assets. Based on this, we will undertake what is called a stakeholder analysis. And then using our expert judgment on all these, what is the output that will be generated? We will come to know, we will be able to create a stakeholder register. We will have a list of all the people who are involved in the project and what are their information requirements. And from that, we will generate what is called the stakeholder management strategy. So this is the step number one in under communication plan or creating the project communication plan. Now let's go to step number two. Now the step number two, after the stakeholders are identified, we have to create the plan communication. Now again, what are the inputs over here? Of course, the stakeholder register, which we identified in step one. Then the stakeholder management strategy, which we designed in step number one. Then the enterprise, environmental factors, and organizational process assets. Now these become inputs to this process. Now here we will use the tools and techniques of what is the communication requirement analysis of each and every stakeholder. Based on that, we are going to create, what we are going to communicate and through which technology and what will be the communication model and the communication method. What is the output of this process? The output that we create out of this process is a comprehensive communication management plan, and we also get a project document update based on this communication management plan. So this is step number two. Now in step number two, if we look at the communication requirement analysis, we need to identify which stakeholder needs to know who needs to know and how much. Then we have to communicate the good and bad, but not too much to overwhelm them. Then communication channels grow exponentially, not linearly, as number of team members are added. If you see the next slide, now, so determining the number of communication channels, as the number of people involved in the communication increases, the complexity of communication becomes higher because there are more communication channels or pathways through which people can communicate. The number of communication channels is actually calculated using a formula, N multiplied by N minus 1 divided by 2, where N is the number of people involved. If you see the next slide, you will see the impact of the number of people on communication channels. So if we take this formula, N, the number of channels is equal to N into N minus 1 divided by 2. So if you take the 2 people, which is 2 into 2 minus 1, so 2 into 1 divided by 2, it gives you one communication channel with 2 people. Okay, then when we have 4 people communicating to each other, 4 people communicating to each other, we have 4 into 4 minus 1, which is 3. So 4 into 3, 12 divided by 2, 6. So actually creates 6 communication channels over here when 4 people are involved. When we talk about 3 people, this is 3 into 3 minus 1, which is 2. 3 into 2 is 6. 6 divided by 2 is 3 again. So with 3 people, 3 communication channels. So with 2 people, 1 communication channel. With 3 people, 3 communication channels. With 4 people, 6 communication channels. So just the addition of one person over here, the number of communication channels have actually doubled. So it's very important. I mean, the complexity of communication increases as the number of people go on increasing. In the communication management plan, we have to identify the 5 W's. Who, what, where, when, and why, and one H, how will the information be distributed to each and every person or each and every stakeholder. Then there's an issue escalation chart or an issue escalation matrix that is formed. So if you see, for example, the information type, the charter, the project plan, the launch plan, the product specification, schedule, weekly update, project minutes, project emails, project memos, vendor information, progress update, contractor information, who needs it, what is the distribution frequency is decided, and then each role and each person in the stakeholder who needs what at which time is identified. So this is a escalation chart or a part of the communication plan as to who needs to be sent what, when, where, and why, and how. This is a sample stakeholder analysis for project communication. So you see, in this case, a stakeholder is the customer management team. They need to have a monthly status report. So document name is monthly status report, which they will get in hard copy and meeting. And these are the contact people, if any, and when is it due? First of the month. Then customer business staff, they also need monthly status report in hard copy, first of the month. Then customer commercial technical staff need a monthly status. So most of the people need a monthly status report by the first of the month. Then in addition to that, we have a training subcontractor who needs a training plan by, you know, the 1st of November. Then you have a software subcontractor who needs a software implementation plan by email. And that's how, you know, typically sample stakeholder analysis is done for project communication. The third step in the preparation of the communication plan is, how are we going to distribute this information? What is the input information from this? Input information comes from the project management plan, all the performance reports, and the organizational process assets. Now, these serve as inputs from which the communication methods and the information distribution tools are created. And what does this give us? It gives us a organizational process asset update information, which is then communicated to the key stakeholders across the project. Then coming to the next one. So in this distribution techniques written, for example, the project manager will sort and distribute the information. In small projects only, issues with timely delivery information go. But document control, sort and distribute for all mill-sized project, issues with retention of staff qualified to sort are required. A documentation control notification, a daily list of all the documents received, email to team who are directed to a central location for each document review. So all this is, you know, done as a part of the distribution technique written. Okay. Then distribution technique verbal. Where do team members get their information? As we said, 7% from words, 38% from tone, and 55% from verbal cues. Your presentation style. So presentation is another way by which people get information, and that is very important. The next thing that we are going to do is managing stakeholder expectations. What are the inputs that we have? Stakeholder register, stakeholder management strategy, project management plan, issue log, change log, and organizational process assets. Tools and techniques, communication methods, interpersonal skills, and management skills. What are the outputs? We have an organizational process asset update. We have change request update. We have project management plan update, and we have project document update. So this is what all happens in a typical when we are trying to manage the stakeholders' expectation. So as we said, how do we manage stakeholders? We retain 10% from reading, 20% from hearing, and 30% when we read and hear both. 50% of what we discuss, and 80% of what we experience, and 90% of what we teach. How long? We retain 10% from reading, 50% for now, 25% in 2 days, and 10% after 7 days. Please note, agreements which have no documentation or changes that are not documented will come back to haunt you at a future point in the communication, at a future point in the project implementation stakes. Okay? So why? That is why we have to manage these stakeholders. Okay? Now going on further, managing communications is a large part of a project manager's job. Getting the project information or the right project information to the right people at the right time in the right format is just as important as developing the information in the first place. Important considerations include use of technology, appropriate methods and media to use, and how is the performance of the project going to be reported across to the stakeholders. Okay, so let's look at how we can select technology to, distribute and disseminate information across the organization or across the project management organization. Now, technology can be used as a facilitator for creating and distributing information when used properly and correctly. It is important to select the right communication method and the media. Okay, now let us look at what are the different methods we have for communication. We have what is called interactive communication, when two or more people interact to exchange information. Could be via face-to-face meetings, it can be via telephone calls, it can be via conference calls, it can be via video conferencing, or it can be through use of web-based technologies like WebEx or Skype or GoToMeeting.com, etc. Okay? Now, this is probably the interactive communication is the most effective way to ensure faster understanding and common understanding and quickly discuss everyone's perspectives and create a common consensus. The second method of communication is what is called push communication, in which information is sent or pushed to recipients without their request via reports, emails, faxes, voicemails, and other means. Now, this ensures that the information is distributed and the information is received by the recipient, but does not ensure that the recipient has, understood it or read it. The third method of communication is pull communication, in which the information is sent to the recipient at their request via websites, via bulletin boards, via e-learning portals, knowledge repository, knowledge management systems like blogs, and, by having specific micro websites or portals or other means from where it can be downloaded by the recipient at a convenient time, at a convenient way. Now, the last thing that we have to do in the part of the communication plan is the report, how to report performance. Now, to report performance, the input documents are the project management plan, the work performance information, the work performance measures, the budget forecast, and the organizational process maps. These serve as inputs. What are the tools and techniques that we use? We use variance analysis, we use forecasting methods, we use communication methods and reporting systems. We create an MIS out of this. What is the output that comes out? We have an MIS in terms of performance reports. We have organizational process asset report and change request report, which then is sent across to the stakeholders at the appropriate time of this thing. Now, reporting performance. Now, performance reporting or MIS keeps the stakeholders informed about how the project is progressing and how the various resources are being used to achieve the project objective. There are different kinds of reports. We have a status report which describes where the project stands at a specific point in time. Then we have progress reports which describe what the project team has accomplished during a certain period of time. We have forecasts which predict future project status and progress based on past information, trend, and emerging future data. Okay? The next step in the process of reporting is controlling the communication. Now, the main goal of controlling communication is to ensure that the right kind of information goes to the right kind of people in the right kind of quantity. It is not important to give every piece of information to everyone in the project management team. Okay? Therefore, it is important to control what information goes to whom. Now, the project manager and their teams should use their various reporting systems, expert systems, judgment, meetings to assess how well the communications are working. If problems exist, the project manager and team should take corrective action, which may require changes to the earlier processes of planning and may have an impact on the future project implementation. That impact has to be communicated to the team in a specific way. It is often beneficial to have a facilitator from outside to the project team to assess how well the communications are working. Now, suggestions for having better project communications. Of course, develop better communication skills in the team, run effective meetings, use emails and technologies, and use templates for project communications. So, developing better communication. Organizations spend a lot of time and money on technical training, but they may not spend enough time and money on communications training, which also, if money spent, can contribute a lot to the effectiveness of the organization and also to the effectiveness of the project. Individual employees are more likely to enroll voluntarily in classes to learn the latest technology than classes that develop soft skills. As organizations become more global, they realize that they must improve or invest in ways to improve communication with people from different countries and culture. It takes leadership to develop and improve communication, and it's a very important part of the management process. Now, running effective meetings, for a number of meetings happen during the project implementation stages, at various stages of project implementation. The first thing to determine if you're having a meeting is whether the meeting is really required or not required. Only if the meeting is required, then go ahead with it. If it is not required, please don't go ahead with it. Once the meeting is identified that it is required, define the purpose and the intended outcome of the meeting. Please determine who should be the attendees of the meeting, create an agenda to the participants before the meeting, and tell them what they have to prepare for before they get into the meeting. Prepare handouts and visual aids and make logistical arrangements ahead of time in terms of where the meeting will be held. Is the room size enough to accommodate all the participants in the meeting? Make arrangements of tea, coffee, water, etc. and then run the meeting professionally. Set the ground rules of the meeting and help use the meetings to build relationships and to develop or enhance the objectives of the project. Then using techniques like email, instant messaging and collaborative tools effectively. Okay, now make sure that there are methods like email, instant messaging, texting and WhatsApp, etc., which helps you to communicate in a very effective way to groups of people. Be sure to send information to the right people, use meaningful subject lines and limit the contents of the email to one main subject, and be as clear and concise as possible as a part of the communication. Be sure to authorize the right people to share and edit your collaborative documents. Sample collaborative tools. One is SharePoint, which is what Microsoft is giving. You can set up a SharePoint portal, which allows the users to create custom websites, to access documents and applications stored on the shared devices. We can use Google Docs that allow users to create, share, edit documents, spreadsheets and presentations simultaneously working online. Or you can have a wiki, which is a website designed to enable anyone who accesses it to collaboratively contribute to it and modify the web page according to the requirements of the individual. So this is sample collaborative tools. The other part is to use templates for project communication. You can standardize the communication that is happening across the project team by creating templates. Many people may not know how to report and what to report, and therefore you can create a template which people can easily fill up. You can create an example template of how it has to be filled up, and the other people in the project can easily follow that template and send the communication out. Once it is templated, the inputs are standardized and it becomes easy for everyone to collect the data and provide it in a standardized format. So typically also remember that research shows that companies who excel in project management, often make effective use of templates to communicate across the organization. Now, this is a sample template for a project description. So you have a project X description. It gives you the objective of the project. So here you will describe the objective of the project in a couple of sentences. Okay. Then what is the scope that we have? What is the scope of work? What is the assumption? What is the total cost? And what is the schedule of the project? So if you see here, you have a bar chart that has been given to understand the schedule of the project broken down by various tasks. So this is one example of a template. This is a sample template for a monthly progress report. So you can write these are the accomplishments for the month of January, or it could be for any other appropriate month. So here you describe the key achievements of the month. You relate the project to a bar chart or a Gantt chart, and you say this was the estimated time, this is the actual completion time. So you can show the plan versus actual, in this. Then you can show plans for the next month or the following month, the key items that have to be accomplished in the next month, and you can relate it to the project's bar chart or the Gantt chart. You can also describe other important items to accomplish, one bullet point at a time. You can also list the third part of the monthly progress report can have the issues, what are the key issues that we are facing and what they can do to, you know, what those issues can do to, will do to the project and how will we overcome them. Then project changes, list any approved changes that have been coming into the project for everyone's information. This is a standard template for a monthly progress report. Then this is a standard template for a final project documentation. So if the project is getting completed, this is one, the project description. Two is the project proposal and backup data, which is request for proposal, state, scope of work, etc. Then original and revised contract information and client acceptance documents, original and revised project plans and schedules, WPS, Gantt, which is the work breakdown schedule, Gantt charts, network diagrams, cost estimates, communication management plan, resources plan, etc. Then the design documents, the final project report, deliverables as appropriate, then audit, lessons learned, and all the other things that have been communicated across the project all become part of the final project document. So this is another example of a template that we have for final project documentation. In addition to this, we have what are called lessons learned reports. A project manager and project team members can create or prepare what are called lessons learned report. This is a document which tells us what was the issue that was faced, how it was resolved, and what did we as a team and as an individual learn from working on this project and on this from this. Okay, project managers will often combine this information from all the lessons learned reports into a project summary report and circulate to other people for their information and understanding. Then in addition to that, you have a project archives. Now this is an important part also where we organize and prepare the project archives. Project archives are the complete set of all the project records that provide an accurate history of the project across the development life cycle. Okay? These archives can provide valuable information for future projects, as well as if you have a redevelopment of the same project or an upgrade of the same project coming up sometime in the future. Then project websites. Many project teams create specific project-based websites, you know, which carry dashboards of the project, which store important documents and other information related to that specific project. Now, these sites can be created using various types of software, such as enterprise project management software or SharePoint or wikis to use and improve the effectiveness of the overall project management. In addition to all these methods, we have specific softwares that can be used to aid project communication. There are multiple softwares available. Okay, today it is like you can have, you know, today many people telecommute or work remotely from home. Tech cast at George Washington University forecast that by 2019, 30% of US private sector workers could work from home. If they have to work from home, they have to have strong communication methods and technologies available for them to be able to communicate with all the stakeholders. Project management software includes new capabilities to enhance virtual communications. You can use WebEx, which is an internet-based platform, or GoToMeeting as an internet-based platform for that. So while technology can aid the communication process, it is not the most important thing. Far more important is improving an organization's ability to communicate, which often involves cultural change and cultural parameters. This brings us to the end of this chapter. Our goal of this chapter was to understand project communication management. Why is it important, how it impacts the project implementation, and to ensure what is called timely and appropriate generation, collection, dissemination, storage, and disposition of project information. Main processes include the plan communication management, message communication, and controls communication. This brings us to the end of project communication management, a very important part of the entire project planning and implementation schedule. This also brings us to the end of the subject. It has been my privilege and pleasure to be able to discuss this with you through this medium of video conferencing, through this medium of videos to, you know, bring you this understanding of, you know, managing IT projects. I thank you for your time and attention, and till then, happy learning.